I'm stating the obvious when I say these times are still strange and unsettled. I was reminded of that this morning as Ernie and Leslie were playing that beautiful prelude that we don't have live music in church the way we used to, and will hopefully one day again. Like you, I suspect I would like some normalcy. I would like things to be predictable, things we could count on. And fortunately, the lectionary provided such a moment today, because we continue Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees in the temple that we were reading last week. So the Pharisees, once again, have this idea that they are going to trip up Jesus, that they are going to be able to discredit him. And they're going to do this through posing a question, which hopefully Jesus will not be able to answer in a satisfactory manner. Of course, we know that's not what happens. And Jesus gives a great answer that sums up Scripture. Now, it's not as easy as it sounds, because someone had to do it first, and that was Jesus. You remember the Torah had 613 commandments in it, and choosing which one placed above all the others, which ones the Pharisees asked would you choose as a commandment that was most important in the law, actually required a little bit of thought. But Jesus jumped on the question, and he said that the most important commandment in the law to him was that you love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. You may recognize that as being a paraphrase of the first commandment in the Decalogue, which we read a few weeks ago. Jesus thought that was what Scripture was all about. It was our loving God. And he added a comment to that, though, in case we would think that our own private faith journey was enough. He said that you also need to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as Christians, we might think, oh, wait a second, here's something we can work with. If God is up here in heaven, and I'm here on earth, we've got this nice vertical axis, and I'm over here, humanity's here, I've got a horizontal axis, and we can put the vertical over the horizontal, and we get a cross. That's what the Bible's all about. Well, that's a nice little visual aid that can be used in the Sunday school class. But Scripture is about so much more. Still, I'm not going to say it's about some kind of complicated proposition. It's about something very simple. It's about love, actually. That's it. Love. Now, you may think that sounds like a nice, fuzzy, mainline Christian kind of idea, but I recently read this book from Michael Curry, actually over the last week, which just came out. And you may remember that Bishop Curry was the preacher at the wedding of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry a couple of years ago. And he's a dynamic preacher. He really can draw the crowd in, and he just has a wonderful delivery. But he's not interested in using those gifts because he wants to hear the sound of his own voice. He wants to make a point. And for Curry, the point is this. If it's not about love, it's not about God. Now again, you might think, gee, this is just some kind of fuzzy Episcopalian church speak, and it just sounds nice, but it's rooted in Scripture. In this book, he writes the following. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's not from any kind of Episcopalian prayer book. Those words are taken directly from Scripture, from 1 John 4, verses 7 through 8. God is love. That is in the Bible. Now, it's one thing to say God is love, but what is love? How do we recognize it? How do we live it? How do we make it come real for us? And one thing we can do when thinking about this idea is think about opposites. You know, we often think about things in terms of their opposites. And you might think the opposite of love is hate. others and our relationships and what we can give them and what we might get out of those relationships from them. And that's a we way of looking at life. The opposite, the way of selfishness, is a me focus on life. That simple. We or me. Now, if you want to worship God, I believe that you need to focus on the we. It's not just enough to come to church or to volunteer in a committee and begin to have this one-on-one personal relationship with God. You also need to love your neighbor. Remember, everybody watching this service right now, everybody in the sanctuary here was made in the image of God. We all matter to God, each and every one of us. And when Jesus talks about loving one another as you love yourselves, he recognizes that that sense of ego we bring into our lives. But that can be a positive thing or a negative thing. If we recognize ourselves as being image bearers of the Holy One, we will see ourselves as blessed and special, but also responsible for others who are blessed and special by God. We will not just focus on other people as ways to satisfy our own needs. Now, as I read this book, which, as you may have noticed, is indeed a book, it's not a sermon. He had a lot to say about love. Curry talked about his life and his ministry, and not everything in his life was easy. Not everything in his life was perfect, and he hit bumps in the road, and there were losses in his life. But carrying him through all of that was this sense of God's love. And I know we can all think about things that have gone wrong in our lives and the pitfalls we've encountered. But if we remember that God loves us, we have an anchor that can hold us steady in the storm, a way for us to go forward. And I would encourage everybody, as you're thinking about love, to think about the people you know in church, to think about people you know in your life, to think about the people who have embodied and incarnated love. And they don't all have to be like Mother Teresa. They can be the person who would normally sit in the pews with you on Sunday. They could be a family member. And they're not going to be perfect. And I acknowledge that love does not always work for people the way it should. There are broken families. There are failed relationships. There are dreams that are dashed. But if we look at the whole wide world, there is love out there. There is love that we can share and love that we can receive. I've said about stewardship sometimes that we often think we live in a world of scarcity, and in reality we live in a world of abundance. And what's true of money is even more true of love. And in today's world, we need love. We think about the vicious arguments people are having, the contentiousness, the vitriol, the anger. If ever the world needed to recognize God's love, to receive God's love, it's now. Now, I wanted to think of a good example of love incarnate for you. And as I've often done before, I'm going to trot out the example of my mother, who you'll remember is now 100 years old, and she's seen a lot during life. But she also grew up in what in many ways was a completely alien world from the one we inhabit. And this is my adopted mother, so her story is really kind of interesting, as I suspect everybody's story is. But both of her parents emigrated to the United States, and they had very different stories. Her father came from a prosperous family in Germany, and he was essentially on a grand tour of the world. And when the ocean liner docked in New York, and he got out, he saw Manhattan, he fell in love with it, and he decided that he was going to live in the United States. Her mother came from a Russian family, and in a more typical story, they wanted to escape the poverty and prejudice and a government that was abusing its people, and they hoped they could find a new future here in America. And as often happens, two people meet under, I don't know what circumstances, but these two different people met, and they fell in love. And they had two daughters, my aunt and my mother. Now, when my mother to live with their mother's sister and her husband. Her aunt's name was Fanny, and her uncle's name was Jack. And all I remember about hearing about Jack when I was a kid was that he was a veteran of the White Russian Army. He'd been a Cossack. Like any lower man in the army, he was abused, and frankly, he left Russia to get away from being in the army. And all he seemed to do was read Russian emigre newspapers. That was it. Fanny was a different story. Fanny seemed to be filled with love that she wanted to share with others. She and Jack had kids of their own, and yet they took these two other children into their home to be part of their family. And as my mother grew up, she saw Fanny the way she did things, and when the Depression hit, it hit their neighborhood hard, and there were people without food, and there were people without any recourse to assistance. And Fanny always had something to share with people who came by, whether it was something as simple as a potato or inviting somebody to the table for a meal. She had something to share. That's love. And that was an impression that my mother carried with her throughout her life. But love isn't just about sharing, and it's not just about helping others out. Love can also be about protection. When I was a little boy, my grandfather, my mother's father, moved in with us. And he was a great grandfather. He was fun, he was lovely to be with. He had this funky accent, he's just a neat guy to be with. And after he passed away, my mother told me that her dad had been, frankly, a lousy father. But he turned out to be a wonderful grandfather. And he had that opportunity to reestablish that connection and to receive love and to give love. And so did my mother. And as we see from a story like this, love isn't all rainbows and unicorns and fairy dust. It can be hard work. But that's what God wants for us. We need to make the effort. We need to take the time. You don't find that Michael Curry's a convincing arguer in favor of the proposition that love's important for me. I'll turn to an unimpeachable source, St. Paul. And you've heard me talk about this before, but he founded the church in Corinth, and it had fallen into hard times, and people were arguing and doing stuff that Christians shouldn't do. And he wrote in this letter to them that love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's not the love of a Hallmark card or a rom-com movie. Do you hear the words? Patience. No arrogance. No resentment. It endures. That is love. That was the love that Paul wanted the members of that Corinthian church to know, to share with one another. And it's the love that God wants us to know and to share with one another. So if you're ever asked in the future, what is the Bible about? It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about obscure genealogies. It's not about the history of long ago, far away cultures and peoples. It's about love, actually. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of love that is made known to us in Jesus and that continues to abide with us in all we do.